Brilliance Audio.
Half Sisters by Virginia Franken. Performed by Jess Nahikian. Chapter 1. Maddie. She'd sat on the news for 4 long hours, reined in the urge to divulge it via text. This was not news for texting. She'd held it in, as Bea had bustled through the front door, Fergus and Robbie in tow, Robbie in full tantrum mode. Waited patiently for Robbie to calm down and, when requested, made a guess at what he wanted for his birthday. Then watched as Bea smoothed out the ensuing fistfight after Fergus blurted out what it was, a Nerf blaster, spoiling Robbie's guessing game. But now the boys were finally occupied. Their hands full of the grass, dead leaves, and shards of old brick, they were industriously collecting and dumping in a pile in the middle of the lawn. Dirt in their hair and under their nails. Content. Now both women had glasses of chilled rosé cupped in warm hands and had taken up their seats in the rockers. Always the same. Maddie on the right, Bea on the left. Maddie gently bit the rim of her wine glass as she listened to Bea talk and focused on the hazy landscape directly in front of them, her gaze lingering just above the final line of houses. She always thought those huge divots in the hillside looked like oversized eye sockets this time of day. The empty, black eye sockets of slumbering giants. Bea reached a natural pause within her PTA rant, and Maddie opened her mouth to share her news, but Bea got there first. I mean, it's not like I'm asking them to scrub public toilets for 8 hours straight. It's 2 hours of selling books to children, their own children, on one day, maybe 2 days, if they can possibly bring themselves to do it. Maddie had heard it before, had taken a shift herself at the book fair in the past, just to make it stop. But she didn't make the offer today, even though she knew that was why Bea had brought it up. Instead, she stood, topped up Bea's glass and her own, then wedged the bottle back behind the big cactus planter. In lieu of a tabletop where a bottle would be safe from getting kicked over by little feet, it was what they did. They'd lost too many bottles in the early days. Of course, Maddie could have purchased a table, something small that could house a bottle of rosé and a couple of glasses. But whenever she'd start to eye one, not knowing what was going to happen with the house had always prevented the purchase. She couldn't sidestep the logic that there was zero point in furnishing a place that she might have to move out of at any moment. Because she knew that once she bought herself a tidy wine table, it wouldn't stop there. After the table, she'd need to swap out the 2 hard rockers. And then, with new porch furniture installed, she'd noticed the paint on the railings really was too flaky to tolerate. And wasn't it time to replace the ancient doormat? And then into the front hall to fix the uneven parquet flooring, make the living room lighting less dungeony, and so on. And that would be how she'd end up refurbishing a house she had no idea whether she'd be able to stay in. But now she knew. There had been news. Bea's monologue finally came to an end, and a short silence followed. Silence that Maddie was supposed to fill with empathetic murmurs on the self-centered nature of the St. Novitus parent body. Instead, Maddie took a small sip and considered which words exactly she should use to spill the beans. But before she could compose the perfect sentence, Bea drew a breath to start into wave 3. So Maddie decided she'd best just say it. We found her. The words finally spoken out loud caused some amorphous mix of relief and fear to unspool inside her stomach. Found who? Asked Bea, though from her face she could see Bea already knew who. She just couldn't believe it. We found Emily. The ensuing silence expanded until Maddie felt compelled to glance over at Bea to see what the deal was. To create an epic silence in the presence of her best friend was no small feat. But if there was any one sentence that was up to the task...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?